going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Busy weekend for Mr. Sal Capaccio. I got an idea to make him judge and jury here on a quick little side mission. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. How are you?
We're all right. Sal, I don't know if you remember or you heard this. Joe and I had a bet going into the draft. What do they take first, linebacker or running back? And they didn't take either. So it's a wash, but I wonder if you will declare a tiebreaker here. I'm looking at the UDFAs they brought in. They brought in a linebacker. They did not bring in a running back. I win.
I don't think it. Deal? Undrafted. Come on. The bet was who's
what
drafted.
Is the draft? What was the bet? Was the bet draft or was the bet just add to the roster?
The exact letter
what if
wording,
they would have signed a free agent?
They did. They just signed a linebacker free agent.
But the
What if they would have traded for somebody? Would that have counted?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, right. Like it was who? What do they bring in first? Linebacker or running back? I was on linebacker. He was on running back.
I think it says what will the Bills draft earlier? UDFA stands for undrafted.
You know what? I think it goes to next year. Let's do it.
Actually, I think
let's go to next year.
Did we just leave it up there for
there
the next year?
Yeah, it's up for a year. All right.
Anyway. All right.
Good morning, Sal. Happy post draft day. Big weekend, busy weekend, of course, you down there at One Bills Drive and everything going on. Hectic weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, the story of the draft is, of course, that the Bills, and it kind of fits in with their offseason, it's a fully rebuilt defense, really, here, right? The number, just the sheer numbers that they've added to their defense, they've locked in some cornerstone pieces, and the front seven gets a big-time overhaul here.
Yeah, I wrote an article at WGR550.com, and the way I started it is it was like Oprah handing out cars, Brandon Bean handing defensive players to his defensive coaching staff. You get a defender, and you get a defender, and you get a defender, right? And really, at the end of the day, I mean, it really was mostly, though, defensive line and corner, right? And then you do have a player that can play safety. He's more of a corner, but we'll see. I mean, he might play safety. It wasn't anything like he's coming in. We had that big safety discussion. That never happened. They didn't try to replace what they have there. We had the wide receiver discussion. That never happened. They didn't try to replace what they have there. This was a clear focus by Brandon Bean. Ever since the beginning of the offseason, we have been kind of in this, we've been kind of told that they were going to concentrate heavily on defense. I think maybe even to the surprise of me, 6 out of the first 7 players go on the defensive side of the ball. But I think this was a clear message by Brandon Bean, listening to him after the draft, even talk about how, what was his quote? His quote was, I didn't feel the offense was what held us back in the playoffs, essentially, or in games, right? I mean, that's a pretty interesting quote when it comes time to analyze everything, and that's why they went defensive heavy.
So they go defensive heavy for Sean McDermott's defense and Bobby Babich's defense. So let's go through the picks. We'll real quickly recapping Max Hairston, what they like from him for the first round. Then we'll go on to day two, where they go defensive lineman twice, which is something you'd been saying for a while, like corner and 2 defensive linemen in the first 3 picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. For about a month, I've been saying 2 defensive linemen and a corner. I didn't know what order. And to be quite honest with you, I was a bit surprised because I had the Bills drafting the defensive lineman first. But that being said, you don't know what their board looks like, and they wind up going with the corner first. I was confident that they would go two defensive linemen and a corner, but not necessarily the order. And really, Jeremy, I think that Maxwell Harrison's a really interesting pick for me when I go back and think about it, because we've talked about how he's not the specific mold of what the Bills normally have at the position. They like to have a guy who could be a little more physical, hold up against the run. That's not really what he is. Brandon Bean, though, said it's not for lack of effort. He's a little bit smaller. He'll get better at that. They'll do that. So I understand that part of it. You know what two words come to mind, though, for this draft for me? And I think it really goes to him here a lot. Fit and swing. I think the Bills drafted guys that fit. I'm not going to say need. Yes, need is run. I don't want to use that word, though. The word I want to use is fit. These guys fit what the Bills do, and or they're big swings. I think Maxwell Harrison is a swing. I think this kid could be, like, his ceiling is really, really high. But I also wonder, like, is he going to be able to stay on the field and play and do what they need him to do and in critical moments, because teams are going to try and, you know, bully him a little bit. Like, this is really fascinating for me, this to see where this goes. So really interesting for him. I think he's a big swing. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I think it's a really interesting pick because I think there's a wide range of outcomes here for him. I think with TJ Sanders in the second round, when I talk about fit, this is a player a lot of people mock to the Bills. He just fits what they do. He's the type of player that they usually bring in here on the defensive line. And the same thing with Landon Jackson. I mean, if you looked up, like, prototypical guy the Bills love and want to have on their defensive line, there's a picture of Landon Jackson, right? I mean, yeah, how many people said this is a guy that truly fits the Buffalo Bills? He has a body just like Greg Rousseau, and he has a motor, and he is super intelligent, and he's a guy, to me, that is going to play in this league a long time. And I do think he has a really high ceiling, but at the very least, I think he has a super high floor.
Another word I've seen used this weekend, Sal, is their defense was looking for juice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I like it. And that goes back to, I'll say swing, juice is a good word, and that's what it is. I mean, they drafted guys. We know they like traits, and they've gone with traits before with guys like Tremaine Edmonds, and we could say however that turned out. I mean, maybe didn't translate to the exact, you know, production everybody hoped for, but Tremaine was a good player for them. He signed a really big contract in free agency. That tells you that. They've mostly gone for traits, though. I mean, Greg Rousseau is a traits guy like that, but on the offensive side, of course, Josh Allen with the traits, and Spencer Brown with traits, and even Tommy Doyle is no longer on the team, but, you know, he was that athletic freak. Chase Lunt, an athletic freak of an offensive lineman. They like guys like that, right? This is, on the defensive side, them doing that in a different number of different ways, and the juice is certainly there with guys like Max Harrison, guys like Landon Jackson. I think Deion Walker has a lot of juice. Very interesting pick. He's a super big guy who you say, and I wrote as soon as they drafted him, there's your one technique. That's because of the size he has. He's going to play some one technique. But really, at Kentucky, he moved all around. And this is a 334-pound man who is very athletic and moved around. And I'm interested to see how the Bills use him. He's got to play a little lower if they're going to play him at the one technique. But part of the reason that he wasn't playing as low last year is the back injury that they really didn't know he was really suffering from until later in the year. And, you know, you listen to Brandon Bean, he said, if it wasn't for that and the way he played last year because of that, he might have been a first or second round pick after 2023.
Yeah. Walker and Sanders, if I almost pair them together here, Sal, because Walker, like, the comparison I've seen the most for him is actually Jordan Phillips. In fact, I think someone brought that up in the press conference with Bean, that Phillips is a comparison for him because of his pass rush ability. And it's different body types, but does it feel like now at that position the Bills have... Maybe Oliver would be the one just because of his size. Like, you would never want to put him, I think, at one technique. But otherwise, Beans talked about Sanders can do both and Walker can do both. And even though they're different body types, I don't know, it felt like the Bills were going for a certain versatility at that position.
Which they really love, right, Joe? We know that. I mean, Bills love versatility. The guys that can play one tech, three tech, you know, guys that can play outside corner and have some flexibility to play nickel. We saw that with some of the draft picks. They love their versatility in the offensive line. We know that as well. So yeah, you're right. That's typically right. And even the guy I had them mock to take, Tyleek Williams, like, he would be a one technique, but he would be able to play both spots. I just think that that's the nature of football, though, now. It's not unique to the Bills, right? I mean, you watch teams and you watch college football now. So many of these pass rush packages these teams have. You know, you don't get these, you know, Austin Collins, the kid from Florida, right, who's this monstrous 400-pounder. You don't get guys just like that all the time anymore. It's mostly guys who, yes, they have these different body types, and they can basically, you know, go and play all along the defensive line.
Those linemen, because Harrison, I think everyone knows, like, he'll compete for a job with Trey White and all the other corners that they brought in. Like, there's a path for him to play. Do you see a clear path for all three of those defensive linemen between rounds 2 and 4 to play meaningful snaps this season?
Yeah, by the way, I said Austin. I think it's Alfred Collins, right?
Yeah,
Alfred Collins, sorry. Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, like, you look at the numbers. I think that, right, what our job is to project here, right? It's my job. It's your job. We talk about, but there's so much time between now and then. And there's got to be a lot of stuff that's got to get sorted out. We know Larry Ogunjobi has a 6-game suspension. Let's just take the defensive tackle group for a second. Take Larry Ogunjobi out. You only have 6 guys there now. Zion Logue is your 7th, but let's just, you know, I think Zion Logue is probably more of a long shot because you have 2 drafted guys all within the first 4 rounds. They're making the team. It'd be a stunner if Walker or Sanders didn't make the team, obviously. That's going to happen. And then you have Oliver Jones and Carter. That's 5 guys right there. Now, it is possible a guy like Deion Walker, you know, at the end of training camp, the Bills said they're going to take him slow. You could put a guy now, you don't have to do the parking lot cut. You could put a guy on short-term IR on that last day. You know, maybe he doesn't get fully back to where you want him. Brandon Bean said that, you know, they're going to take it slow with him, but he could play a game right now, but they're going to take it slow with him. Does that indicate that maybe once you get through training camp, does that mean he's automatically on the team, or is there another spot now with the new rules, the way you could do that? So I just think about things like that. That being said, Joe, I mean, yeah, there's spots here for guys to play. I mean, the Bills, they rotate 4 defensive linemen, 4 defensive tackles, and sometimes 5. So I see a lot of opportunity here for guys to be able to come in and play. And then you got to figure out what happens when Ogunjobi comes back. But that's 6 weeks down the road, and a lot can happen between now and then.
Right, a lot of opportunity here for some of the young guys. Sal, later in the draft, they turn to big blocking tight end and offensive line, and even the receiver at this point. Special teams, right? There's going to be opportunity on special teams, and it looked like the second half of the draft, or the third of the draft, was about focusing in on that part of the roster.
Yeah, I agree, Jeremy. I'm going to say this, though. I'm going to make a prediction right now that, you know, I think could very well happen. I think Jackson Hawes could be your new extra offensive lineman in place of Alec Anderson. And then you have a guy that actually can go out for a pass once in a while. This guy is a mean, violent human being on the football field. Not off the field. He's got an economics degree from Yale, by the way, okay? He's a super smart guy. But he talks about how he loves the violent part of football, wants to put his face mask underneath someone's chin strap and just drill them into the ground. This is a guy that can go out and be... He is your young Lee Smith, right? You know what I mean? Like a guy that could just... You're going to put him out there and say, just go block that guy and help us. And what did the Bills do a ton of, more than any team in the league last year? Extra offensive lineman. And now that extra offensive lineman can actually be somebody who you can go out and leak out for a pass because everybody thinks he's going to come in and block. And then what happens to Alec Anderson? Alec Anderson fights for a job. Alec Anderson fights for a backup role that he's a main backup, and you could still use him in versatile ways. Maybe even fights for a starter. Not that they're looking to move on from it. Would basically be David Edwards would be the most likely candidate he could compete with there. But I think Jackson Hawes is here not just for special teams. I think Jackson Hawes is going to be the team's extra offensive lineman.
The report on him is he is pretty much consensus the best blocking tight end in the draft.
Yep.
Like, he's not I don't know who second place is, but everyone agrees that's what this guy does.
And he'll also be 25 during the season, so this is not like a developmental player, I don't think, for the long term.
Right. I mean, like I said, he's had 5 years at Yale before transferring to Georgia Tech for a year, right? So he's been in college football for 6 years. Chase Lunt is one of these traits guys. He's 6'7", super athletic tight end. I think there's belief in the building that he could very well compete for one of the backup jobs. The Bills have all 10 of their main starting offensive linemen returning. But if you go beyond the top starting 5, Dawkins, Brown, McGovern, Torrance, and Edwards, you go beyond them, you have Alec Anderson, we just talked about, Tylon Grable, Ryan Vandermark, Cedric Van Pran Granger, and Richard Garage. I think he's absolutely in the mix to compete with one of those guys for a job on the actual 53-man roster. And then you get to the final pick of their draft, Caden Prather. Yeah, wide receiver finally comes in the form of a 7th round pick. That's a special teams guy. If he's going to make the team, he's got to play special teams. Like, that's a 5th receiver who's got to play special teams, who does have a little bit of juice. He's a bigger guy that can move. I mean, he's got 4.4 speed, and his size, there's always a spot in the NFL to try, at least, to see if you can make it work with a guy who can run 4.4 at 6'2", 6'3".
The other day three pick, Sal, they add two more corners, although being described, Jordan Hancock is more of a nickel and maybe also a safety, which kind of sounded like maybe a little bit of what Cam Lewis does, but in a different body type. So I saw that and pair that with, obviously, Hairston in round one. And do you feel like corner, as we get closer to training camp and then once we're in training camp, both at the top and the bottom is going to end up being like the most competitive position? Because there are names there, veteran names. There are draft picks now. And like, I'm looking at your chart for their 76 players right now and looking at corner. I mean, I see like eight names at that position alone, not even including Lewis because he's listed at safety, that all might have a case to make the team right now.
Yeah, there's 10 names, and then Lewis is 11, right? And he's your main backup nickel. But he's listed as a safety because that's where he's listed on the roster and what he plays as well. Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, Max Hairston. I think right now they'd probably be the most, you know, Johnson and Benford are going to start. You'd probably say, okay, you think Harrison's going to win the job. He's the first round pick. Doesn't have to be, though. He's going to be competing with Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram is in the mix, obviously. And now you bring in Jordan Hancock and Dorian Strong. Oh, by the way, we know the Bills love to develop guys and say, give him a shot. That's what's happened with Jamarcus Ingram. That's what's happened with Cam Lewis. And here's Daquan Hardy, who last year was close to winning the return man job. And he actually played pretty well and was not even just a nickel guy. He actually played some outside in training camp. Here's to Corey Couch, who played a little bit in the nickel last year during training camp. This is going to be super competitive. I agree with you. We'll see where it goes. I'm interested in the Jordan Hancock pick for what you said, Joe. He does seem just like a Cam Lewis player. Is it a Cam Lewis replacement? I wouldn't go that far. What I would say is maybe then you have an opportunity for Cam Lewis and Jordan Hancock to one be the backup nickel, the other be a backup safety. So that Cam Lewis doesn't have to do everything, if that makes sense, right? And you have room for that because now you can, maybe someone gets pushed off the roster. Is that where Damar Hamlin now, he has to fight and say, okay, we know it's not for sure that he would make the roster. Maybe your safeties are Rapp, Bishop, Derek Forrest, and Cam Lewis. And then your backup nickel is Hancock, or maybe another safety is Hancock, and your backup nickel is still Cam Lewis. I think there's ways for this to sort out. Of course, you'll get into training camp and you'll see how this all goes. It's super interesting to me. And then I do think that because Hancock has some safety flexibility, that is notable because we did talk a lot about safety. They're very comfortable, as I said, guys, with what they have in Rapp and Bishop, but it is another guy that they can add to the mix.
Sal Capaccio. Sal, obviously, the thing we've not yet gotten to is the lack of receiver. Seventh round pick is just, like you said, throwing something at special teams. First question is, would you expect them to add somebody? Is Amari Cooper on the radar? Is Elijah Moore on the radar? Because, say what you will about receiver, two guys left and one came in. So they're down from last year's numbers, regardless of how you felt about last year's team, where Jalen Virgil or Tyrell Shavers here or Laviska Shenault are elevated into the Mac Hollins role if Palmer takes over the Cooper role. Do you think they will add somebody at this point?
Well, reportedly, they have three undrafted free agents also joining this group. So that would be, 12 total? I think they have 9 right now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be 12. I think they generally bring 13, 14 to camp. So you could say there might be a spot for somebody. Guys, I'm going to be super honest with you. I don't see anybody that has, a name like that adding right now. Could it happen in the future? Yes. I mean, I was told a long time ago, and it always resonated with me, that veterans like that, veterans you're talking about, Amari Cooper, there's a Keenan Allen out there, Elijah Moore, right? Guys like that. They're going to keep themselves in shape. They're going to be ready. So if you need to call on them, you can call on them. They're going to come in. They've played in multiple systems. You don't have to bring them in right away. You're going to have Brandon Bean on in a little while. I'm sure you're going to talk about this. Here's my read of it, though, and what I would say. I think the Bills, as we've talked about, for right or wrong, people can say that this shouldn't be the way they approach it. I think the Bills are very comfortable with what they have right now, but it's a wait-and-see approach, and that wait-and-see is going to be, let's make sure we're comfortable with it. Let's not bring in somebody now to take away from snaps and opportunity and development through the summer for, whoever you want to say, even Keon Coleman and Joshua Palmer working with Josh Allen and Curtis Samuel getting more reps and Tyrell Shavers, all those guys. But if we're not comfortable in 2 months from now and we need somebody at training camp, we feel we don't have enough, we can turn to a veteran. That's the way I read it. Yes, do I think they're going to add Jeremy? Probably one or two, but maybe not now after the UDFAs. I don't think it closes the door on doing it eventually for a guy that maybe people are thinking about.
Well, last year they added MVS and Claypool, and there are all these buy low, maybe they'll pop ideas. And Sal, they don't even have that guy right now, unless you're talking UDFAs, which to me is not a realistic conversation. I mean, it's puzzling. I get it. They had a good offense last year, but for a couple of years, it's not even about the players they've had. Even when Diggs was on the team, they were light at the position. They are thin again. And that's where I wonder, like, a Cooper or an Elijah Moore or someone like that, because you just went how many defensive backs deep? And at receiver, yeah, you get to like the fourth receiver, and it is troublesome.
Well, to your point, and this is timing, right, Sal? Because a lot of, like, why Cooper, I brought this up earlier, Cooper and Allen, a couple of the names you mentioned, maybe part of the reason they haven't signed yet is they want to see what teams do first. Like, let me pick out a team that maybe didn't get what they wanted in the draft, and I'll go have my agent call them. Because last year, right, the Bills had a couple of veterans. When did they sign Chase Claypool? On May 3rd. When did they sign MVS? They signed him on May 14th. So it almost feels like those low-level veteran signings where they'll compete for a spot in camp, that kind of gets going now, I feel like, or in the next month.
And you bring up a good point, Joe. Both sides have to agree, right? It's not just the Bills saying, I want to bring this guy in. If you're one of these guys we're all talking about, you look at the roster and you say, what's really my opportunity there? Look, let's see where the Bills are. Now, you could feel, oh, I can definitely beat these guys out. That's right. But you have to think about, as I always say, what do the Bills feel about it? I don't think the Bills feel that they could bring somebody in right now that's going to just be over, you know, one of their top four receivers. So I think the Bills probably feel, okay, let's see where this goes. And if we need to go out and get somebody. I think this comes down to another point here, guys, right? And I know this might be a little bit pie in the sky asking, because you're like, okay, well, what are the chances of that? I think a lot of this comes down to the Bills really expect a big jump, a jump from last year from Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel, both all in health and production, right? Health and production. I think a lot of this comes down to what they feel the projection is from last year to this year for those guys, both in health and production. And again, that's three guys, right? What are the chances they're all going to be making a jump and staying healthy and being more productive? But even if you get two out of the three, I think they kind of get them to where they think that they can be.
Well, the question for Bean, what we're going to have next segment is, relative to their peers, they do not invest in the position, period. Right? Mm-hmm. Would you even dispute that? That relative to their peers, you had teams with full receiver rooms that love the guys, that think the next guy's going to pop, and they drafted him anyway. You know, so whether it's a decision or if it's just, I mean, Bean kind of said the way the board fell, it was never really there for them, where the top guy was a receiver on the board. So to me, it looks like relative to the league, they undervalue it as much as anybody.
I would say it does look like that for sure, and I'm interested in his response. I pause because I'm thinking, what is Brandon Bean going to say?
Right.
He's probably going to tell you how they're second in the league in points scored. They set a franchise record and had the league MVP at quarterback.
That's right. That's not the answer to the question, though. That's a different right. answer to to a direct question. So we'll see what he has to say.
I get it. And I get it. And I understand. To wrap up, though, this discussion of receivers, I know you guys got to go to Brandon. I wouldn't close the door on somebody later on, but I think this is the group they're going to roll with and see what they have here for a couple months.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. Brandon Bean, Bills GM, when we get back here on WGR.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email. Pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, you can still support our cause by donating to our team. Help us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sal. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Right back to it here. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Beautiful day out there. talking about the Bills draft, and joining us on the Western Hotline is Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean, who had a busy weekend, a lot of hours logged. Brandon, we had two draft parties, so we're kind of tired too. You know, we were up late with you on the first round and the second round. It's a busy weekend for you.
Yeah, no, it was. I was just listening to the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right,
sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very. How so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
Okay. I mean, I wish you'd listened to the 2 hours and 25 minutes before that, because there's plenty of things we do like about your draft, and I find it curious the energy you're coming at us with, but I mean, that's your choice.
I get it. I'm just like, let's be realistic. Our job is not to have, it's not fantasy football, like to trot out the best receivers. You got Josh Allen. First thing you got to do is protect him. You can't have everything. You can't have Pro Bowl wide receivers and have a Pro Bowl offensive line and an All-Pro quarterback and 3 great running backs. Like, you gotta pick. Sure, I'd love to play fantasy football, but there's one football, Jeremy. There's one ball. You can't give it to but so many people. So that's where I'm like, I don't understand this narrative. I felt it a little bit from a couple of the reporters in the thing. Like, our job is to score points. It doesn't matter what receivers, what quarterback, what. If you score points at the level we scored, that is winning football.
No doubt about it. Something that we've said quite a bit, 30 points per game, a good offense last year, an incredible offensive line, a good run game. You did lose two receivers and add one. I mean, many out there thought you might add another one. I was going to save the receiver conversation till after we talked defense, but if you want to go there first, I mean, it's fine. I think you've got some nice pieces there. Keon Coleman hopefully can take a step forward. And Curtis Samuel, we saw his season get kind of cut short or whatever, off to a bad start due to injuries. So you definitely have some pieces there. When it comes to that position, one of the things that the draft does, Brandon, I think you see all these teams add all these things. And I know, like, the board falls how the board falls. The reason I finished up with Sal the way that I did was I see lots of teams that are kind of flush at that position, still adding a few more pieces. And one place that I don't think you would even dispute is it's a place to save money. I mean, from a market efficiency, the wide receiver position gets expensive, and adding in the draft is a place to get some cheap options. So that's part of the reason that I kind of focused on it a little bit, is just because it seems like it's smart business to maybe add some there.
Well, it could be, for sure. It's you want to do that anywhere, just like corner is as well, which we did that, or defensive line, defensive tackle in particular. So yeah, you can only get after you know, as you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? But yeah, listen, if there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guys stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class.
Sure.
I'll say that. But, yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving core.
That's great. If that's the case, it seems a little odd to be upset at people that think that adding receiver made sense. You just kind of make the point there that if it had lined up on the board, you would have done it.
Yeah, best players. Like, that's what would – but, Jeremy, you can't go into a draft unless you got a major hole there. And I'm looking, again, at our receiving core. And you guys forget, you're not counting, like, Dalton Kincaid.
We are.
A receiving tight end. Like, you gotta include that in there. Just the way the Kansas City Chiefs count Travis Kelce, or some of these other teams count their guys. Detroit counts Sam Laporta. Like, George Kittle, and like you name them, those types of tight ends that are receiving threats, those guys count in your mix too. You can throw them the ball.
That's right. That's right. We do count them.
Yeah,
we talk about them a lot. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the hole there, Brandon, and that's why like I wasn't thinking about this for first round, but I'm wondering from your standpoint in the organization how big a hole you feel Mac Hollins left, and what you believe in your internal group now you could do to replace that, because that was a player that played a lot of snaps and a lot of blocking and special teams and the veteran presence. So that was to me the part of receiver for me was always figuring out. How big a hole is that, and how big do you feel like it could already be filled by the guys you already have?
Yeah, I mean, I would say last year at this time, you guys weren't bragging about Mac Hollins, like, as, man, look what the Bills got. I would say you guys were probably, and I wasn't listening to your show, but probably, like, counting him, like most people, as a special teams player that will play receiver, not a receiver that plays special teams. And I think Mac and our system, the way we do things, I got the questions last year. Hey, you moved on from Stephon Diggs. What are you doing? I totally understood that. And I just said, well, we'll have to see. Like, we have to show it. I guess where I don't understand is we just showed it with the way we want to run our offense and the way we want to do things, that formula can work as well. There's not just one way to skin a cat here. And Josh Palmer, I think you guys are forgetting, Josh Palmer is a good player. And he's going to help us a lot. And he's a young player, and I believe he has helped us upgrade our receiving core this year. I don't know. Again, I haven't been listening to your show earlier, to your point, or other days, but let's don't forget adding Josh Palmer. We spent some money there. We obviously paid Khalil Shakir. Curtis Samuel, hopefully, to Jeremy's point, hopefully he doesn't start out nicked up the way he did. I thought he finished strong for us. Hopefully that's the guy we get. But if he's your fourth receiver, like that's pretty good. So I'm not sure at some point in the draft where you're adding that you're going, man, he's better than that.
Josh Palmer, another signing we did like. I mean, I feel like the solution is just, listen a little bit more. We're not the haters you might think we are. But Brandon, let's get to some of your defensive picks and the way the board did fall. We know Max Hairston was the first pick you made in the first round, and then defensive tackle and defensive end. So it sure looks like the mission going in. Again, you do a lot of the board falls and you do what you can, but you wanted a revamped front seven.
Yeah, we thought. Jeremy, when we stacked the board, and again, I'll say stacking the board, in February you really start honing in on where you feel the depths are. And you still got to get through the next couple months of getting to know these guys, their fit on and off the field, their intelligence, and then the medical. I mean, every year there's guys that we get a couple weeks out and we finally meet with the docs and they start pulling some guys off the board that medically don't fit. But, the board stayed deep, and I think that's the only reason a Deion Walker is still hanging around in the fourth round is because a lot of teams, were hitting D-line, and then they started pivoting elsewhere, and we're just like, man, this guy's still sticking out on our board. We got to go get him. And, so it really is how the board fell to do that, but we thought we would be able to at least add, two or three, and we got four.
That position, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, both you talked about in your press conferences being able to kind of play both spots at defensive tackle. Do you see that position more and more as guys aren't really, one or the other, that maybe you would even say this about your whole roster or almost the entire thing, that all those guys can do both?
You'd like them to. You love the versatility piece. I mean, sometimes you do have a guy like you're not going to play this guy when you can help it on third down. But, we joke internally here, the offense is allowed to pass on first. So it's actually one of the most strategic things to do is pass on first down if you've got the arsenal to do that. And so we want guys that are not just what we call a two-down slug in the middle. And that's what I think these guys give you. And they got the versatility to stop the run, but also to get after the pass. And that's where I think it's almost like Deion is more like a 1-3, but he's got more rush than most ones. And TJ is probably more 3-1. He's more rush than anchor.
Bills GM Brandon Bean joining us here on the Wester Hotline. one thing that looks like another theme throughout is you drafted a good number of players that you guys had in for visits. So maybe that speaks to the importance of you forming relationships with these players and identifying fits from a personality or a football standpoint, not just fits schematically, but the kind of people you want to bring in?
Yeah, definitely. Jeremy, I would say, you know, that's just another layer that helps you get to know them because, you know, you mostly know them just watching them on film. Some of these guys we do get to meet with at the Senior Bowl. I was unable to make the Senior Bowl this year. I watched the film, but I felt like I was a little bit behind. And then you meet these guys in Indy, but it's truly like speed dating there. It's 15 minutes a person. You get 45 options there. So when you get them here on these 30s, you can spend as much time with them as you want. And, you know, I think at that point you really feel like you know them as well as you're going to know anybody. And so when it works out to the board, sometimes you lean to that way if it's close. So, yeah, some years it works out more than others. This year, I think, to your point, it definitely worked out.
What about what you ended up adding a corner, Brandon? Thinking about, for me, when I was seeing those picks, I was thinking about the end of last year and maybe options that you would have liked to have at that position or Sean would have liked to have at that position. And now seeing the list of young guys and players that had been here before, was there any, you know, not hold back about drafting more of them on day three, but just giving yourself as many options at corner than maybe you would have had last year?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, being candid, that was probably the going into the draft, the spot felt like, man, we need to hit somebody here in the first 2 days. Like, we need to find someone. And you don't want to go in with needs. And you still want to let the board fall. And I do think if Harrison was not there, I was kind of tracking it. I do think we would have had an option on day two to get one. You always kind of look, all right, well, what would you have gone there if you could have? But, you know, once we got to day three, Dorian Strong was the best player on our board. It wasn't like we were like, hey, we got to get another one. And we just feel like he's a guy that, again, adds versatility. Outside player first. We think he does have a nickel skill set. Also a guy that, you know, the way he plays his game should translate to, you know, fourth down and special teams.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. On day three, has special teams become a bigger conversation, especially with the way that the league is changing?
Yeah, it definitely does. This kickoff rule, Jeremy, you gotta have enough cover guys. And, you know, that gets into the receiver too. Like, what's the guy? Some of these guys were like, hey, we can add him, but we're healthy. We're not going to be able to get him a jersey because we got to have, again, we had Mac last year who played some special teams roles. But so we got to make sure, you know, whether it's a Jordan Hancock, a Dorian Strong, these guys that they do have some fourth down value, or they're going to find themselves inactive on game day.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. Before I let you go, Brandon, I just want to ask you the question I said I was going to ask you with Sal. I mean, I'm sorry if it bothers you, but I just want to know, like, would anyone thinking that you value receiver less than some other teams in the league, would that be incorrect? You do not think that is the case?
Yeah, that's not correct.
Okay.
What I value is good football players and good football teams and how they're built. And you just can't – again, it's not – the game is not fantasy football. I know the world is – everyone knows receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs. I want to be strong up front. I want to have a quarterback. And then I want to score points. I want to keep the other team from scoring points, and I want to score a bunch of points. If we can protect the ball the way we did last year, we had 8 turnovers, a plus 24 margin. We've led the league the last 2 seasons in fewest sacks, which helps Josh Allen. If we can do that and score another season with, you know, lead the league in points, I'll be thrilled at the end of the year.
We will be thrilled as well. I would say I don't think it's fantasy football. I'm just looking at the way the league pays positions, running backs, tight ends, guards, tackles, receivers, linebackers. Like there appears to be a hierarchy of positional needs. You know, quarterback is at the top. So when I ask that question, I'm not asking from a fantasy football standpoint. I'm looking at franchise tags. I'm looking at draft capital. I'm looking at all that with regard to positional values. And forget receiver. I mean, would you have a positional hierarchy at least, of course?
Yeah, but there's, again, there's one football, Jeremy, and that's where I would say you have to be careful too. You can only feed so many guys. You can get frustration. It's a position where you see it across the league, and there are teams with, you know, people would argue are definitely better than our receiving corps, but they don't score as many points, and they don't have the same success. Some of them don't protect well.
Yep.
Some of them don't run the ball well. We want to be multidimensional in how we do things. We want to protect. We want to run the ball. We want to be able to play in December and January. And that's the point I was making about fantasy football. And, again, I'm all about if we could have got a guy in the first round or second round or wherever that fit, we would have added him in a minute, but not at the point of reaching to a lower value when I got a higher valued player, especially a D lineman sitting up there.
Very good. Thanks for the time, Brandon.
No, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right. Bills GM Brandon Bean here on the Wester Hotline with us. 803-0550 if you'd like to offer a thought on what just happened.
Uh-huh.
Hey. I think the kids would say...
I will admit I did want Josh Rosen in 2018. I'm not going to lie.
I wanted Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. And
big woof.
I don't think it's an indictment on anybody to have not been sold on Josh Allen. And Josh Allen has proved a lot of people wrong. I was nervous about Josh Allen. I was still very happy they took a quarterback. And I'm not for that. I don't claim to know which quarterback is going to be the best. I actually don't do that. But as the kids would say, I think he chose violence today. So, hey, have a great day, man. Go for it. 803-0550. We're not playing fantasy football. We're smarter than that, and we're not here to be belittled either. So, cheers. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Is it warm in here? Hot in here?
I'm wearing a t-shirt, so.
Okay.
Or a jersey.
We have a wide open segment on the other side. We'll get some calls in. We've got some people want to react to what Brandon Bean had to say. He came on our show. If you missed it, I would encourage you to go listen to it. It was not your typical GM interview. At least not from him.
No. I would say.
Not from him.
No.
Maybe typical in other places, but I almost want to describe it as out of character. Bullish. Hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion and their passion, and the GM came with it, so you can make your own judgments and give us a call on it. We'll have an hour and, honestly, 5 months to talk about it.
Yes.
Woof. All right. 803-0550. We'll get to your phone calls coming up here on WGR.